We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, and welcome to Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young. We're going to be talking about all kinds of renovation loan products, particularly the FHA 203K and the Fannie Mae Home Style, although there are at least seven other renovation loan programs that we're aware of. VA even has one. Anyway, in any case, realtors, if you're listening, why not sell every house you show? You can do that with a renovation lending. So hook yourself up with a team. Become a part of a team that knows what the heck they're doing. And that just means teams understand that everybody on the team has a position to play and let them play it. That's the fastest way to close a 203K or any renovation type loan. So you want to be sure and to let everybody play their parts. It's no fun when one guy tries to micromanage everybody else. We've actually had to turn away at least one lender because they were micromanagers and they were all about doing everybody else's job before theirs was even finished. So, but I can't believe how many consultants haven't been providing a property inspection report. An FHA 203K has several parts. One part is a property inspection report. We're going through 203K consultants on the Facebook, and everybody wanted an SOR. Well, that's fine. So I finally turned mine in reluctantly, but I turned in my entire product. I think I pulled the home inspection on it. But anyway, in any case, when you do a 203K, you are required to turn in a property inspection in writing of the current condition of the property. So if you're not doing that, you're not providing what your minimum requirements are. So anyway, I just can't believe how many aren't doing that. They try to get a upgrade to a full home inspection. If they can't get that, they don't do any. Well, you're not fulfilling your obligation as a consultant. You need to get the guideline out and reread it. I don't have a lot of patience for those who have been taught to ignore part of the guideline. But the property inspection report, what we did, because it is a lot less than is required of a standard home inspection, one says, HUD says we have to disclaim it as not a home inspection. And two, it was just too much. So what we've done is I created an app some time ago, and it's for providing this property inspection. It typically takes me about a half an hour to run through and create a property inspection report that satisfies HUD's minimum requirements. And that's what we turn in with our 203Ks, and everybody should be doing that. Just because you ask them, do you want a home inspection? And they say, no, I don't want one. This is a refi. I don't think I need a home inspection. I've been living here for 20 years. I'm refinancing it and going to fix some things up, update the house. Okay, then we won't give you one. Well, no, that's not your obligation. I mean, it's your obligation to give them a property inspection. It's not your choice. So if you're a consultant and you're wanting to do this according to the guideline, you will provide a written home inspection that is considered not a home inspection. And the big difference I see is I can do this property inspection in about 30 minutes. I take a lot of photos. I do not turn photos in to the lender because this is not a home inspection. Okay, I do disclaim it as not a home inspection per the HUD guideline. And then we have a complete inspection or complete SOR that goes with it. draw inspection forms. What else is in there? Oh, your disclaimers, your certifications. I'm trying to figure out why my computer is binging at me. I should stop that or I'll turn it off. Anyway, benefit to the lender, you have a consistent home inspection report for underwriting. Benefit to the inspector, once you fill in the check boxes and print the report, the job is finished. You can add it to your finished report regardless of what software you're using. You can add it to your report. It's going to come out in a PDF format, so you can attach it to any other software vendor's report and turn it in. You'll be able to make your own inspections faster, therefore improve your profit margin significantly. Unless you haven't been doing it, and then this is the fastest way to get that covered. You merely need to write the bid specifications once you return to your office, and if your software doesn't automatically provide all the other information you're supposed to turn in, then you need a different software. Our software has been the longest running nationally advertised software since 1994. Secondly, on that app, we included a 442 compliance inspection report form, which is that's what it's called. When you go to the Play Store on Google, you're going to look for 203K online compliance inspection report. That has your 203K inspection report in it also. Appraisers typically have had a lock on those inspections for years, but a couple of years ago they were deregulated. So anyone who knows how to do them can do them. So if you're in the inspection business, why not do that inspection too? Pick up a few extra bucks here and there. Especially if you're going to be in an area and they have one of these things, hey, you can knock it out at the same time. Save your trip out there because you're already there. In any case, if you look at the form, it looks exactly like the back of your 203K draw inspection form. It looks very much like it. Very much like it. And if you buy the app, we'll be happy to talk you through filling it out. I can even send you a sample of one that's already filled out so you understand it. But I think as soon as you see it, you'll know enough about the draw inspection form to make this thing make sense for you. Now, while most 203Ks and other type renovation loans go off without a hitch, from time to time, a homeowner may find that they're beside themselves. They got no one to talk to that's taking sides with them. Well, let's look at that. You do have an advocate at the initial part of your 203K if you're doing a standard or full. In HUD's infinite wisdom, they said, hey, the biggest problem with 203Ks is our limited 203K. So let's make sure they don't have any help. And we'll pull that help away from them by not allowing their fee to be financed. So you got a product, 98% of the problems with that product are limited. So what do you do to fix it? You do just the opposite. You say you can't use a consultant and get their cost rolled into the loan. You have to pay that cost out of your pocket. Okay, something doesn't make sense there. But let's let HUD make their own rules as they do. They're an insurance company. They know what they need to do. I don't agree with them on that one, but that's their business, of course. So the homeowner has got an advocate. If it's a standard, a full 203K, it's called a consultant. The consultant works closely with the homeowner or the buyer or the person refinancing to create a scope of work that fits their needs and addresses the hot buttons that HUD has deemed are important. So once that happens, though, and the loan closes and the construction can start, the consultant's job is over, ended. He doesn't work for you anymore. He's an inspector, and he works for the lender and HUD to be absolutely sure that the work that's being done on this project meets minimum property standards. It is professionally completed in a workmanlike manner. Those are all key terms. Okay, you want to be sure it's professionally completed in a workmanlike manner. That means no shoddy workmanship. If it isn't in a workmanlike manner, then it's not going to be signed off by your inspector. But I always tell the client, if you need questions asked and answered as a consultant, then just say that. Hey, I'm calling you about, as a consultant, what would you recommend to do here? Because I'm not working for you anymore. You have to put me back in that hat. Okay? So, but if you find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side of the equation, maybe the contractor is not doing an adequate job and the consultant is just signing it off, which I should use the inspector word there, not the consultant word. So the inspector just signs it off. He's buddies with the contractor, possibly. You don't like the way the work's done, then don't sign the paperwork. Tell him it's got to get done in a workmanlike and professional workmanlike manner. If it isn't, then don't sign it. Your inspector shouldn't be signing it either. He knows if it's done in a professional and workmanlike manner. So, but if you have a problem and you need someone to talk to, pick the phone up or go online at 203k911.com. Anybody at any part of this equation can do it. The lender can call us. The lender can initiate a 203K911 talk. Most of them go off without any cost to anybody. Most of them do. Only if you ask us to get involved more directly and write letters for you and you put them on your letterhead and so forth, do we even charge anything. So most of our assistance is absolutely free. 203K911.com. So if you're a lender, you got a problem, 203K, and you don't want it to escalate and get out of control, call us. Send us an email. Let us know what the problem is and see if we can't get in there and help you solve it. Quite often, we can solve it over the phone, and that's what this is all about. I thought this was going to be a real moneymaker at one time, and it turned out to be a lot of help, and I enjoy helping people, so we don't mind that it's not been the moneymaker that we thought it might be. There's a lot of consultants out there listening. Then I'll let you know. If you need someone to talk to and you don't want to call your competitor, then call us. We'll talk to you. Homeowners, you got a problem and no one's listening to you, call us. We'll handle it. We might even pick the phone up, call your contractor and explain how it works. It's all about making these go as smooth as possible, whenever possible. And if we're able to help you with that, then let us do it. Let us do so. We can show you some possibilities and maybe help you out ways. I'm sure I've seen everything that can be seen with all the ones we've done. There's also a great deal of consultants out there thinking there's no work for them, that somebody has just put too many people in an area. Well, I love that because you can't have too many consultants in an area. You know, one of my competitors sure puts a bunch of them out there, and to me, they're undertrained, but, you know, you get what you pay for, and you may want to seek additional training. We charge $489 for our training. All of our stuff is in modules, all in modules, so if at any point you decide, you know what, I don't think this is for me, then you're not out $2,500, you're out $489. Or if you want to buy the software, it's $699. If you want advanced marketing, but you can stop anywhere along the way. Our basic training, marketing, will show you a way that I knock down anywhere between 12 and 15 203Ks a week, just giving a two-hour seminar once a week. It also got my name out there as the man to go to. So if you think there's too many people in your area doing 203Ks, then why not own that neighborhood? You got everybody else talking it up. That means a lot of talk about it. Why not own it? I can show you how to own that neighborhood, how to own that marketing area. It's all in our basic training. I love to see people who've taken my training and they get on a national website and start getting on a blog and, gee whiz, I haven't got the jobs that I thought I would. Well, you haven't done the marketing that I told you to do. You have to do it. You marketing is all about action. You don't take the action, you're not going to get the results. Okay? So anyway, I see we're coming up on the first break. So please call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the show. Hang in there. We're going to be right back after this break.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
It is a great idea. I tell realtors all the time, why not sell every house you show? You merely show a house that meets most of the criteria of the buyer. And as you walk through that house, you make a list. Well, what would it take to make this house your dream house? That list could include adding a bedroom and a bathroom, or turning a half bath into a full bath, or adding a garage. Who knows all the list that might be there? But once you get that list, it becomes the basis of your renovation loan. Therefore, you have just sold them a house, part of which is going to be brand spanking new. How good is that? I mean, that is cool to me. So, we also have a program that we sell to lenders. There is a cost to it, but we guarantee to provide you 50 loans within 30 days of that seminar, and most of them are going to be provided at the time we do the seminars. Isn't that cool? So, if you want to know more about it, give us a call. Not on the radio, please. But we guarantee it, so you have nothing to lose. What would 50 new loans be worth to you as a loan officer or a lending company? I'll tell you right now, the last time we did it, the lender said, oh my God, I've only got 17 loan officers. I don't know that we can close this many in 30 days. So, well, you can if you concentrate on your part of it. But 203K is a team effort. Let the consultants do their job uninhibited. Don't call them every half an hour finding out, how you doing? I got a kick out of it. I am a ventriloquist and a would-be magician. And I was looking at something the other day with regards to Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd and the wonderful early ventriloquism of, I can't think of his name. Somebody can help me. Anyway, his first radio show was as a ventriloquist. He didn't have any vent figures in his hand. He didn't have to because nobody could see him. He's on the radio. My goodness, that was fun. Murphy Brown's dad, what was his name? So anyway, what is the tool? Why would I give a 203K versus a Homestyle? What's really the difference between those two loans? Why would I use a 203K over a Homestyle? Or why would I use a Homestyle over a 203K? I'm buying a home that needs work, quite a bit of work. Which program is better for me? Well, those are all good questions. But one, FHA has a lower down payment requirement. Well, that was true until recently. Fannie Mae now has a 3% down, and the HUD FHA is 3.5%. So they took that away from FHA, so it's no longer an option. It's no longer a sales tool to push you towards FHA. But FHA also has a PMI, a private mortgage insurance program that you have to be part of for the entire term of the loan. And that's ridiculous. So most people do a 203K for the advantages to get into it, and then they refinance it once the work is done and get out of an FHA loan altogether. FHA has lower credit qualifications, so your credit doesn't need to be stellar. FHA has no limit on the amount of construction. versus the amount of the purchase price. There's just no limit. The limit comes from the loan amount. So in San Francisco Bay Area, Santa Clara, Alameda, Contra Costa counties, Marin counties, I think the loan amount now is like $679,000 and some change. So if you're buying a house that's $800,000 and you put the down payment to get it down to $679,250, I think it is, that's a doable thing. So Homestyle will get you there too. And Homestyle is meant for people with better credit, typically with better credit and maybe a down payment. You can get in with 3% down, but you will have PMI, private mortgage insurance, that you'll pay on. But if you put 20% down, you can get away from any private mortgage insurance. And another place a lot of people miss it is if you have cash in the bank and you put that cash up as your contingency reserve, instead of borrowing the contingency reserve, and at the end, if it's not needed, it's not used, then you can get that back in a check, okay? So a Homestyle renovation mortgage with 20% down has no PMI. With 15% down, it has a small PMI. If it's 10%, it has a little bigger PMI. So they make the PMI fit the down payment, okay? But a Homestyle renovation does have a cap on the amount of construction you can do, and it's 50% of the purchase price. Therefore, if you pay $500,000 for a property and it needs some renovation, you can only renovate up to $250,000. So if you buy it for $200,000, you can renovate it for another $100,000. Now, a lot of times on the East Coast, you can buy a house for $35,000. That limits your renovation if you're doing Fannie Mae. So these things are all, you have to take all these things into consideration. Your loan officer is the one to talk to about those things, not us. So if you have a question on that, feel free to call us, and maybe one of our loan officer partners will call in and answer the question for us. But we don't get into the financing. I noticed on the other day that somebody's posting a bunch of what they're hearing about the loan rates. I can't believe that somebody's calling me during my show, and it's a consultant. Anyway, how much should I charge? Here's the next question we got. How much should I charge for the home inspection with a 203K project? It's a nice question. If a home inspection is required, you can charge for it. If they're doing a refi, they don't want a home inspection. So you have to give them the one that comes with your consultation. And if you don't know about that, you need to get into the guideline more, because somebody didn't teach you to read the guideline. So you need to do that. Blah, blah, blah. I don't submit photos with the limited property inspection required by HUD. The reason I don't is because underwriters have a tendency to go through those photos with a fine-tooth comb and question you with anything and everything that they think you should have called out based on the pictures they're looking at. They don't get pictures. If you do a full or blown home inspection and you charge for that, then I send pictures. At one point, HUD told us we couldn't charge for a home inspection because we had to give it to them. And we were ready for that one, so I brought them a standard home inspection, which was about 58 pages. And then I brought them a minimum property inspection required by the program, which was 3 pages. And I showed them the difference. And at that point, the HUD guy, Jim McClanahan, who it was in San Francisco, told us, if somebody's charging or you're asking for a full-blown home inspection, yes, you can charge more for this. And yes, you can use this as part of your 203K submission. So keep that in mind. So if you haven't been providing any kind of property inspection, you need to start doing so. Homeowners, if you're paying someone to do a 203K and they don't turn a property inspection in a written format, then ask for some of your money back. A realtor comment that we had quite some time ago, but it was an interesting one, and I got it again last week. we don't do a lot of 203K because their limit, their loan limits, their loan amounts don't go high enough for our for my neighborhood. Well, if your loan limits don't go high enough in your neighborhood, you may be looking at the wrong program. Okay. I'm thinking the loan officers have been remiss in letting the realtor community know that we have higher loan limits in many areas. Even with that, the harsh reality is that many neighborhoods don't have a lot of FHA loan amounts. I mean, San Francisco now, you can't hardly buy a house for less than $1.5 million. Makes it hard for the people who are doing the dishwashing and the more menial tasks in San Francisco area. So what do you do with that? Well, we have loans that go up to $3 million and are renovation loans. Several banks have them. I was talking to a lender the other day and telling him about it, and I explained to him that Home Street Bank has one, and he says, well, we just bought them out. And I thought, oh, are you going to keep that loan? He says, I don't think they sold that one to us. So you need to find out. But we've got EverBank. We've got several other banks that have programs like that. Umpqua Bank, if you're in the West Coast. But EverBank is national. They're all over the country, and they have this product. So you can go up to $3 million, including the renovation and purchase. 203K. We had a client buying a house for $888,000, and he was doing it in an area where the FHA loan limit was $467,000. $467,000. His choices were, and he was capable of, paying all cash for the $888,000 and then putting all cash for the $150,000. But he's a businessman, and he likes to keep cash because he can buy things, buy quantities, get some special pricing, preferable pricing. So he likes to keep the cash in his bank. So what did he do? He took the $888,000 and he added the $150,000. See if I can get my little calculator to respond. Oh, there it goes. Plus $150,000. So he's looking at $1,038, and then he's got some, I think he had contingency of $15,000. Oh, what happened? So, you know, I'm having a heck of a time with this today. Plus $888,000. So now he's looking at about $1.2 million. So rather than pay the $1.24 million, he could finance $467,000 of it and only tap his own bank account for $775,000, something like that. So that is exactly what he did. So he did a 203K. Now, his credit was good enough. He could have, and I'm not sure he may have, used the Fannie Mae home style to get out from under any BMI. Since he was putting such a large down payment, he could also count the contingency reserve as part of his money they put down so he could get that back if it wasn't needed. And as I recall, it wasn't needed. They fixed that house up, and they did some beautiful things around the pool. They just really did some beautiful tile work around the pool. So anyway, I see we're coming up on the half mark, so we're going to break right here. Let's see parameters. Okay, so if you want to be part of the show, call in, ask your questions. Call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free. Now, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea.
Hey, we're full of great ideas here. So are our customers, and so are the people listening. So if you have a question, you want to talk about it, bring it on. Bring it on the air, and let's talk about it openly. You can call us at 888-627-6008 and toll free and be part of the show. We love to have you. It's entertaining. Keeps us on our toes when we get questions. And that's exactly how I got into this business originally in 1994. I decided to be a professional and be an expert on the 203K. So put myself out there that way, and I would get all kinds of questions. And I had to research those answers. In doing so, I became the expert at this product. We recommend anybody wanting to be an expert, put yourself out there just like that. We also tell people if you've taken our training and you're on the job site, particularly in your early days, and you get a question you don't know the answer to, pick that phone up. Call me. Say, hey, we're on the job site. We have a question. I'm going to put you on the speaker. Click. We click that speaker, and I let whoever has the question ask the question. I provide the answer, and what I tell our people, our team, hang up. Say, we'll talk to you later, Mike. Bye. Click. I do not want to be introduced. I do not want to have any notoriety or fame for doing that service for my trainees. What we do instead is we want them to come to you the next time they have a question or need an answer about the 203K, and you will find the answer for them, just like you did this time. I want them to think I work for you, and I'm sitting there in your office waiting for your phone call. Now, we normally answer our own phones. I answer my phone about 90% of the time. The other 10%, just hang up. I can call you right back, or you can call me back in 10 minutes. Give me a chance to get off the phone, because the only time I don't answer it is if I'm on the phone with someone else. And I will try to hit that little button that says, call me back in a few minutes, or I'll call you right back, so that you have a text message when that happens. It doesn't happen very often, believe me. So, anyway, we've got a consultant question here that came in. I have a new project. The contractor called for a draw inspection a day or two after the closing. Is that even possible? Well, yes, it's possible. When I have a refi and the people are already maybe under construction, they might have had the kitchen ripped out already, I just tell them don't do any work that shows from the street. Because where you have title company states, the title company is going to send their county manager around just minutes before you close, and he's looking for construction. Now, we had one in Richmond, California, not too long ago. I think it was last summer. The guy was putting in a driveway. That's all his 203K amounted to, was putting in a large driveway. So what does he do? He was told, don't do any work that can be seen from the street. Now, if you're building a driveway, let me give you a clue. That can be seen from the street. So what does he do? The loan is due to close on Wednesday, and Tuesday late afternoon or Wednesday morning, they start pouring. And they got that big, that great big driveway poured. County manager comes by, looks at that, calls and cancels the insurance. You can't get title insurance on this because you're doing work when we're trying to insure it. Now, we made sure there's no other ones, and they could have saved it. I suggested that they do a disclaimer and tell them that any work related to that driveway is outside of their guarantee, their title guarantee. And they could have closed the loan. I wasn't the actual consultant on that particular deal. One of my guys went, and I don't remember if it actually went further or was funded or not. But don't do anything can be seen from the street. Even if it's a refi and it's your house, don't do the work can be seen from the street. It is possible. So if the project is refinanced and there was nothing that would keep the borrower from working on his own house, however, If it can be seen from the street, you may lose the title insurance and the deal may fall flat, as this one probably did. In this case, the homeowner buyer is the contractor. Oh, okay, that's this one we're talking about. He lived right across the street from the property and he was buying for his own residence. The problem is it wasn't his to fix up. He didn't own it. He had no right to start working on it. Had he started working on it and the deal fell through, all that work is lost. He can't sell it. He can't sell the work that he's already invested. He's not an owner. He has no business touching that property. So I explained to him, this particular one, we explained to him that you can't get paid for anything that isn't done. Now, we can pay you a percentage. But this particular house was fire gutted. Fire burned. The roof was shot. It was burned. You could see sky. So what happened? He was informed, you can't get a draw for things that aren't finished. Do you have something finished? His answer was, yes, I put the roof on. I said, in 2 days, you've cleared all that burned out stuff out of the way, rebuilt the trusses that were damaged, and you've put sheathing and a roof on this house. Yes, sir. Okay, so when they went out to do the draw, there was nothing on the roof that was completed. Not one thing. It still looked like the day they inspected way back when. And the contractor slash owner, borrower, buyer, he said, well, I just thought that if I could see you face to face and you could see in my eyes that I could actually talk you into let me have some money for go get materials. Well, consultants out there, beware. Beware. You will be baited sooner or later. You will be baited and asked to do just that by HUD. HUD will be standing right there. You don't know who this guy is standing there beside your contractor. Maybe HUD. He says, look, here's what we want to do. We'll have this on by this afternoon if you'll just give us the money to go get the materials. Don't do it. HUD has a zero tolerance policy. If you pay for something you know isn't done, then you are no longer a consultant. You're no longer an inspector. You're gone. There is no recourse for you. There is no coming back. So if you got 40 jobs going, you got $8,000 roughly in draw inspections coming in over the next 3 months, and you do this one little thing and get caught, you no longer get to do any of those draws. You lose $8,000 a month for the next 3 or 4 months, and you'll never see it again. You will no longer be a consultant slash inspector. There is a zero tolerance policy. Zero tolerance means they will not tolerate it, so don't do it. Now, anybody that asks you to do that is asking you to risk your career with HUD over one draw inspection at their house. I actually had one of my employees I sent out to do a draw because I was not available. And they get there, and this longtime friend of mine, a realtor, it was a floor furnace had to be moved out of the walkway, and they were turning that into a return air can. So you can leave the return air can there in the walkway and put a forced air system in. But when they got there, they weren't quite finished, and they were trying to close that afternoon. So when my employee got there, they said, Mike is a longtime friend of mine. He knows I want to get this done. He would sign this off. And all they did is, well, we'll have to get him out here because I'm not signing it off. And when they got back to the office, they said, would you have signed that off? And I said, absolutely not. And if he's any kind of friend of mine that he says he was, he wouldn't have asked me to. Risk your career over one project. Don't do it. It's that simple. It's not worth it. The ramifications against you are unlimited and can end your career. Okay, let's see. Here's another 203K. Oh, this is a comment that you hear as you're in this business and you have a spouse and you're driving around and you see something boarded up, you're going to hear this. There's another 203K. So if you got a family and you're driving and you're a consultant and you're going to hear these words regularly and often. There's another 203K. I even say it sometimes when I was driving out in Milpitas, out in the countryside, when I noticed this slab foundation with steel posts coming up and a second story on it, and it had been fire gutted. And I'm thinking, gee, why doesn't somebody turn that into a house? Why don't they put it back together? It didn't make sense to me because I know the 203K and homestyle programs and know how they can be used. I found myself saying, there's another 203K. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter what state you're in. If there's an obvious fixture, somebody's going to point it out that that's a 203K. So then why is it so hard for realtors, people who are in the business, to see the potential out there? It's because they don't look at those things as saleable. Okay, I find it odd, but understandable. If you've never done a 203K before, you likely have heard old war stories about before consultants existed that weren't too flattering. More than likely, you heard them from a realtor who'd never done one, but he doesn't have any direct experience, but he heard some stories around the coffee machine of some problem 203Ks 30 years ago. If you've got a good consultant and a good team working with you, get off and do your own 203K and see how it goes. Build yourself a working team. Don't take someone else's word about what it was like 30 years ago, because it isn't like that. In 1994, HUD asked Ken Crandall with HUD to find out why people aren't using this program more and fix it. Whatever it takes, just fix it. And what they found was, Ken had found in his research, that most home buyers are not going to read the 1-inch thick manual or the 2-inch thick changes in a timely manner. You know, most people don't like that kind of reading anyway. It's very technical, gobbledygook. So if you're having to read that stuff and you're not used to reading that stuff, a lot of times they just threw their hands up, walked away, or it took 6 months to close an escrow. Those ended in the middle of 1994. We were doing, at that time we had 15 W-2 employees that worked on computers in our offices that were just doing 203K consulting. We had them approved at HUD as consultants. They worked on we did that because we wanted to maintain our software. So we did had them work on our stuff, and we also had more control of the hours that they were putting in. We offered each of them as many as they wanted, up to 2 a day, okay, 10 a week. At that time, we were paying about $52,000 a year per employee, and we had 15 of those. And those days, $52,000 was a lot of money. It was certainly a decent living. But we also had 19 real estate appraisers working on computers in our offices. And we had a lot of computers. We had a lot of people in there all the time. And it was an office. It wasn't working out of my home. And they had keys. They could come in all during the night, anytime they wanted. We had security on the place, cameras lit up, so we knew who was coming and going. So if you ever need help getting that kind of thing set up with your employees, then feel free to pick our brain a little bit, and we'll be happy to walk you through some scenarios. But what can you do to ensure you don't have any issues with your project? The easiest answer is use the team approach. I just heard of a project from a client where the lender was doing their first 203K. They hired a brand new consultant, and the contractor had never done one, and got cold feet at the closing and pulled out. So you had to find another contractor at the last minute, delay after delay after delay. Using a team approach, you'll already have some lenders. You'll have a lender that you want to use regularly. A team might look like this, with a lender or loan officer, because you can have a good lender, but if the loan officer is brain dead and wants to do everybody's job and check on everybody every hour, it's not going to fly well. You should have a consultant or two and some contractors that you have done 203Ks or have had experience doing them. It wouldn't hurt to have a list of engineers and architects and lots of buyers. You can do I had one lender in Modesto put on a first-time home buyer seminar and ended up with 105 pre-qualified buyers and no houses. But with a team, you can do it over and over and over again. So anyway, please call in if you want to at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short message.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Bingo! Let's do it again and again and again. That's one of the reasons I love doing business with nonprofits. Once you find a lender that'll do a nonprofit, let me know. I've got nonprofits sitting on the guideline or sitting on the sidelines, not on the guidelines. They're sitting on the sidelines who have lots and lots of experience doing 203Ks, just waiting for a good lender. You get a loan officer that can do that. This is a windfall because they do them over and over and over again. So a few years ago, I put a book together that was intended to be a consultant guide, and it includes all the HUD forms the borrower is going to sign. So we know as consultants what they are being told or should be being told by the loan officer. Does this happen every time? I don't think so. In fact, I found over the years that so many of them don't know they're even supposed to do that, and their company isn't set up properly to do it for them. Now, some of them do. I mean, you got Primary Lending of America. I know they do it. They have one person that's in charge of doing that over and over again so they get it down correctly. But in spite of that, we've set our business up to do that for our clients so they can't say, well, I don't know if it was done. Yes, you can. We did it for you. Oh, but one of the things that we learned from doing that is that we see the borrower is being told all this stuff, but a lot of it has to do with the contractor who isn't being told all that stuff. And it makes sense only if the contractor is aware of these instructions. So we've incorporated some notes, N-O-T-E-S, in our scope of work, last section 35. That, I think, are key to any successful 203K. So if you're a consultant, and you don't have to write them down right now. If you want it, send me an email. I'll be happy to give it to you in writing. And you might want to modify them. However you want to do it is fine. But one of the notes is contact for access to make your inspection of the subject property is, for bid purposes, is, and we give them a name typically. Now, I boilerplate borrower in there, or realtor, but borrowers. But when we get into it, we retype the realtor's name if that's who wants to gain access. But we want the borrower there when we do our consultation, so we usually include the borrower's name, let him set it up with his realtor. And for you, the people that don't know how to say realtor, learn it. There is no such thing as a realtor. It's a realtor. It's not a fake tour, it's a realtor. Anyway, note two, contractor is to provide a copy of their local city or county business license prior to close of escrow. Now, why do we do that? Because the lender requires it. If you're going to do a 203K and there's permits being required, then they should be a licensed contractor. So provide a copy of your license. It's no big deal. And if you're doing business in a city that requires license and you don't do business there normally, yeah, you're going to have to buy a license. Number three, contractor to verify all quantities and measurements in the field. That is a standard architectural term, VIF, verify in field. So what we do is, as consultants, we create a scope of work. And yes, we might make a mistake. It's possible. Not me, but I'm just saying it's possible. And no, I'm just teasing. I make mistakes too. But we also want to make sure that the contractor understands when you go out there, if I made a mistake, fix it. When you put your bid together, if I've said there's 1,000 square feet and you find there's 1,600, in fact, we had one just the opposite. I estimated at about 1,600 square feet. In reality, we knew it was this wall and that wall. Turns out we overestimated it. It was only about 1,200 square feet. Contractor and homeowner got into it down the road. And even though the contractor and the inspector both knew it was for these two walls, that square footage bit him in the butt. Because he only had 1,200 to it. And the homeowner wanted a refund for the other 400 square feet. So you need to be careful on those and verify it in the for sure. Okay, here's an important one. Contractor understands there is no upfront money for 203K projects. He or she must provide some work and get reimbursed with draw inspections. Okay. Note number 5, provide all permits required for this project and have on display at the first inspection to avoid delays in obtaining your first draw payment. The final signed off permit will be required prior to releasing the final draw. Though they cannot be included as a bid specification line item, they should be identified so the lender can include them on the maximum mortgage worksheet and the recap of the subtotal. Now, a couple years ago, I got a call from HUD. Actually, I got a letter slamming me for putting permits as a line item, because you're not supposed to. And I lost the letter. I misplaced it or whatever, but I hadn't responded to it. And after about 6 weeks, I get a phone call from my contact at HUD in Santa Ana, California. He says, "Did you get that letter?" I said, "Yes, yes, yes. But it wasn't that important." And he said, "It was very important. If I catch you doing it again, then I'm going to take you off the list for 6 months. And I said, "No, it's not that important because I never did it." And he says, "Oh, yes, you did. I gave you the examples." I said, "Do you have them in front of you?" I said, "Read it to me where I did that." He says, "Right here, provide all permits required for this project and have them on display, blah, blah." I said, "Keep reading. Though they cannot be included as a bid specification line item, they should be identified." And I said, "Number one, that's a note to the contractor. That's all. It's a note. It has nothing to do with the scope of work, and I'm not asking him to add them into the line item. I'm asking him for those amounts. I'm asking her for those amounts so I can actually enter it where it does belong, on the subtotal." Okay. Duh. You ever have one of those? Anyway, so he said, "Oh, my God, you didn't do it, did you?" And I said, "No, I didn't do it. Therefore, you're going to send me a letter that says, oh, you made a mistake and that I didn't do that?" And he says, "No, we're not in the habit of making those kind of letters." And I said, "Okay, so it's never happened, but I got chastised and it's in my record. Thank you so much for being worthless. You know, I don't understand." But so what happens? The next time I do it, I'll apply this letter to it. If I should do it, then I'll apply this letter to it, and you can slap my hand then. And he just hung up. I'm pretty hard to get along with sometimes when I'm very right. Okay, number 6, note 6, provide any and all architectural and or engineering drawings and reports necessary to complete this project. Though they can't be a line item in the bid request, please provide the costs for addition to the maximum mortgage worksheet. This way, the cost can be dispersed at 100% without a 10% holdback when you provide a paid receipt and a copy of those plans. Then note 7 I just threw in there for me. Our inspection is limited to items that are visible at the time of the inspection and not concealed behind walls, etc. or stored household items. And I always make a note as I do an inspection if there is overabundance of household items that interfere with my inspecting the property. Number eight was actually offered by a friend of ours in Los Angeles, Aaron Baldwin. Now, Aaron, if you're listening, there's your cue. There's your credit for this one. But he had an attorney write this for him. And it says, contractor nor the homeowner have the right to change these specifications of repairs without prior written authorization from the lender and the consultant. By signing below, the contractor and the homeowner and their agents certify and agree that all have read this specification of repair in its entirety and hereby agree to its terms, conditions, procedures, policies, dimensions, and pricing, and hereby release the consultant from liability from any possible future damages. That's a good thing, and his attorney read it over. That might actually get in there and hurt you. So I see we are at the end of our day. Apologize for that. I had a lot more here to go over, but we'll save it for next time. I look forward to it. I enjoyed your company today. I appreciate it. If you want to be with us next Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, this broadcast is coming to you directly from our Las Vegas offices. Yeah, Nevada. If you ever get in this area, stop by and see us. We look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions or send them in and plan on calling us next week. God bless you.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.